Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, for another program about Fatima that isn't about Fatima right now, but we have been preparing it. I know that there has been some complaints. People say that, well, this program is about Fatima, but the Father is speaking about Guadalupe. Well, I have to speak about Guadalupe, and I will speak about Lourdes. As I have spoken a little bit about many other apparitions, and I have prepared also Fatima theologically, private public revelations, I do have to prepare the way for Fatima. And this is Guadalupe is an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I need to compare Guadalupe with Fatima, with Lourdes, and these the most important apparitions of our times. So it is, I think it is important, and why those that are interested in Fatima, because it is an apparition of our Blessed Mother, why wouldn't they be interested in Lourdes and in Guadalupe? Of course, the bulk of the program will be Fatima, and these are only preparations and to have a way of comparison. And once we get to Fatima, there will be plenty of time, 1 year if not, to speak day by day about Fatima. There is another complaint that I have revealed. I could have chosen not to reveal and hide it. But you know what the gospel says about hiding things. There is nothing that you can hide forever, will be known. And I could have, since I researched these things, I could have hide things that I found that they astounded me, and I didn't like to find them either myself. That probably, as these other people saying, that Guadalupe is a legend. Well, it might scandalize some of you that, well, then Our Lady didn't appear in Guadalupe. Well, there are facts that you should make you think. For instance, the tomb of Juan Diego was never found. There has never been a tomb of Juan Diego. And also, the fact that Juan Diego was not long ago canonized, it should make you think why the Church has not canonized such an important person that was from 1531 and only in a few years back, already in 2000, that the Juan Diego was canonized. And also, in 1982, there was an attempt to canonize Juan Diego, and the Church rejected it. So there must be reasons for those things. So I don't like to hide things. And when the Church tried to hide things, like the pedophile cases, got into trouble. So better be with the truth. I let you judge, and I will give you in the end, not today, but the next, and will be the next program will be the last one about Guadalupe, and I'll give you my vision. In case she appeared, or in case she did not appear, it doesn't change my faith. But I, For me, the Virgin of Guadalupe is still very meaningful, and it doesn't bother me if she did not appear. I'll give you what is my view in the end. But let us hold it for now. And I'm speaking a lot about our Blessed Mother of Guadalupe. Especially today, I'm going to speak about the image of Guadalupe because, you know, there is nothing much to say about the Virgin of Fatima, about the image itself. There is not much to say. It's a plain image. There is not much to comment. And there won't be much to comment about the Virgin of Lourdes. And even the one that Radio Maria uses, that supposedly is the image of Medjugorje. There is nothing much to say about these images, but there is a lot. You can write books about the Virgin of Guadalupe. There is indeed. There is a lot to say about this Virgin. So. We are going to say it, and the base for what we are going to say is Revelation 12, chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. I would advise you, if you didn't manage to get it now, but you still can get it next program. Get the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because what I'm going to say, you need to, if you don't have in front of you, you have a visual image in your mind, then you can use that. But if not, you will get the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe so that you really understand what I'm going to tell you. So it says, Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and the crown of 12 stars on her head. Look at the image of Guadalupe, clothed with the sun. Yes, because the sun surrounds the whole image. If you look at the image, you don't see the sun, you see the rays. You see the rays of the sun, and these rays, they surround the whole image. She is blackening the sun, but not entirely, because we see the rays coming out of the on the background of the image. So she's clothed with the sun, indeed, because the sun surrounds her. And with the moon under her feet, you can see the crescent. The moon in crescent phase, it is under her feet. She is over the moon. And she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Well, Our Lady of Guadalupe is also pregnant. We know that. She is pregnant. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon, with seven heads and seven horns and seven crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. See this dragon in the... It is meaningful for our culture, but it is also meaningful for the Aztec culture, because many of their gods were serpent-based. So they were represented by serpents, and the dragon is a reptile, is a serpent, is a symbolic animal, because dragons don't really exist, as you know. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. We see a difficulty for the child to be delivered, for Jesus to be delivered in the Aztec culture. We see that difficulty. And this Aztec culture, in a way, is trying to devour the child, Jesus, that for so many years The Franciscans and Dominicans have been trying to evangelize these people, and it was difficult to evangelize them. So this culture was preventing Jesus from being born there. So, and their child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care. Okay, so this is the how wonderful the image of Guadalupe is, really, somehow, for the Aztec culture, is the representation, is a good representation of, is a good image of this chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. So, the woman clothed in the sun and with the moon at her feet is portrayed in Revelation precisely as a warrior. You see, you never thought of that, that this woman is portrayed as a warrior, because she is going to defeat the dragon. She is going to confront the dragon. She's going to confront all these gods, serpent-based gods. She is going to, because they want to devour her child, they don't let to be born, and if he's born, they want to finish it up, and so that the Christianity doesn't have a foot on here, on this culture. So the Lady of Tepeyac is a warrior, how do we know that he's a warrior? Because she says to Juan Diego, "I am the ever virgin, mother of the true God." There you are. Mother of the true God. Why does she say true God? Because there are false dogs, false gods. That is, I'm so saying, she was actively dethroning and delegitimizing any false claimant to that title as God. Standing in front of the sun and upon the moon, with the stars of heaven arrayed on her cloak, the lady was showing her superiority to the cosmic elements worshipped by the Aztecs. The gods in question were bloodthirsty divinities, sanctioning imperialistic war and demanding human sacrifice. Mary announced herself as the mother of a god who demands no violence, and who instead took upon himself as an act of love all of the violence of the world. She was thereby effectively calling out the false gods in the name of the true God. So while the image speaks all of this, she is a warrior announcing the true God against the false dogs, the false gods, the false gods of the Aztecs. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to this program about Guadalupe. And as I said, it will be this and the last one. The last one will be next time, next week, in which I will give my opinion for the fact either it was historical, indeed, our Blessed Mother appeared to Juan Diego and Juan Diego existed, or if it is not historical, then what should we do with Our Lady of Guadalupe? So I'll give you my vision, my at next program. It's very interesting, these images I've been telling you, and it speaks volumes. And so we have to revere Our Lady of Guadalupe whatever it has been accomplished in this culture for the evangelization, for the introducing of Jesus Christ in the Aztec culture, it was accomplished by this image. This image, it's an amazing image. It's an amazing image that to give authority to the image, you create a legend around the image to give it authority. Well, it doesn't bother me, but the image itself, the Blessed Virgin Mary acts because the image represents the Blessed Virgin Mary, doesn't it? So the Blessed Virgin Mary acts through the image, and we know since the time that the image has appeared, the image has accomplished. Many miracles. Of course, it's not the image, but the one that represents, that the image represents, that is our Blessed Mother. So let us look again. We already see the big things is the sun on the back of the image, of which you only see the rays, and then the moon under her feet, and then the cloak. The cloak is like she's clothed with the stars. She's clothed with the stars, and also the color of the cloak. Everything has a meaning. So look at the eyes. If you look at the image, you don't see eyes wide open. No, you don't see eyes wide open, and the whole. The demeanor of her face is one that is humble. You look at her face, and you see that the eyes look down as a sign of humility. The eyes of the gods. Of the gods of the Aztecs, they don't look down. They look straight. They look straight, and wide open, and it is as if they want to scare you, they are very kind of demanding. Very eyes. They are very penetrating. No, that's not so. And they impose themselves on you. That's not the case. Christianity never imposes itself in nobody. And so the eyes here are quite different. These eyes are downcast as a sign of humility. So the Blessed Virgin Mary is not imposing herself on you. That would be to have the eyes wide open as the eyes of the Aztec gods. But that's not the case. The face, her face is neither Indian nor European, but mestiza. She is a lady that represents two cultures fused together. What is a mestiza? Is a person that is crossbreed, crossbreed from, in this case, from European, and from Indian. And I already told you about this, so that she unites in herself already the two cultures. The two cultures are united in her face, in her own body, so that the two cultures should become one, that the Aztec religion should be Christian and the Christians should be really Christians. And it reminds me of a monument in downtown Mexico City that reads like this: in the conquest of Hernán Cortés, in the conquest, there were neither victors nor vanquished. It was only the painful birth of the cross-breed nation that is now Mexico. I strongly believe that this outcome was the work of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Because it was, you see, Our Lady of Guadalupe appears here to be a woman, a pregnant woman that is going to be delivered. And the culture was already, by the time she appeared, there were already many mestizos, and the mestizos were not well regarded by the white, not well regarded by the non-white, by the Indians. So the woman's face shows great compassion. The Indians felt that the face was the window to the inner person, a means by which one could read who a person was. The gods of the Aztecs, you look at them, their representation, they inspire fear. This inspires compassion, humility. So the Indians were very much appealing to this image. The head of the woman in the image shows her with a dark skin and a dark hair with that of the Indian. So dark skin, she's not represented with blonde hair as we like to represent our Blessed Mother. No, she is represented with dark hair. And most probably our Blessed Mother, as she was a Jew, probably she had dark hair. There is a black cross on the brooch at her neck. Her God was the one of the Spaniards. It was Jesus Christ that was crucified. So that says her God. She is her necklace. We wear necklaces that are important to us. So her necklace was was the cross. And her hands are not poised in the traditional Western style of prayer. You look at those hands, but they are not really very knit together in prayer. It looks like they have something inside. There is an emptiness inside those hands. So it looks like for the Aztecs, for us, you look at the first sight, you just say praying hands, the symbol of praying. But for the Aztecs, the hands show that she has something to give. And of course, that something to give relates to the brooch that she has in her neck. She has her son to give. And then, of course, this relates to the maternity band. The maternity band around the woman's waist was the sign of a pregnant woman, a mother who is about to give birth. It was a sign to the Indians that someone is yet to come. The black belt she was with child for she wore the Aztec maternity belt. That the Aztec maternity belt is this black belt. So, and she was the mother of God. The flower, there is a four-petal flower over her womb. And that four-petal flower means that she is the mother of God. Remember, the flowers mean truth also to the Indians. Now, at the time when Hernán Cortés came in, you can look at him as an oppressor, but the Aztecs were also under an oppressor, Montezuma. This person was looked upon as being the son of God. He was carried around. His feet would never touch the soil. So in a way, he was portrayed as a god, but a bad god, a god that demanded human sacrifices. So the Aztecs felt compelled under an obligation to offer sacrifices to these gods, either in atonement for some physical calamity, such as pestilence or an earthquake, or a forestal unexpected misfortune. Since the Aztecs regard themselves the people of the sun, they felt driven to supply this divinity, the sun, with a regular nourishment of human blood. Also, they think that humans come from sun, from gods, and gods need some of our blood. We need to nourish our gods with our blood. Otherwise, they might not be good to us. Or as far as the sun, he might not appear in the horizon in the future. So you see, they felt compelled to give this divinity. This divinity was bloodthirsty divinity. The Blessed Virgin Mary is announcing a divinity that not only is not bloodthirsty, but gives his blood to us, that is our Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.